Alright everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and this is Grimm's Visual Novel Corner with Securing More Dreamers. Let's go ahead and get started. I'll kill them all. I'll kill them all. Psyche Yuichi's head was full of noise. He couldn't focus on the class at all. It bothered him that his grades were bad, but there was nothing he could do about it. There were too many awful people in this world. A dog barked at him from some fence earlier this morning, minus 5 points. Okay, I see what they're doing. Yumi, who used to play with him when they were children, wouldn't even look at him anymore, minus 20 points. It was as though sewage filled his heart as he counted all the things that slighted him. He had no choice but to resort to curses to undo the cork and let it all out. That did nothing to change reality, but at least it cleared up his head a little. There was no relief for him in the real world. His father had no interest in their household. His face would always be hidden behind a newspaper facing the TV. Yuichi had a hard time remembering what he even looked like, despite having him together all his life. At this point, he might not even be able He might not even be able to recognize him on the street. His mother, on the other hand, was overprotective in the worst way possible. Her invisible hands had taken a hold of every aspect of his life. There would always be his favorite snacks in the fridge, and the meals would always include his favorite dishes. But in exchange, she spared no effort in molding him into her image of what he should become. And if that didn't work out, he was the one who had to pay the price. That was her idea of justice. She even wanted to supervise the number of times he masturbated. His blood froze when she told him he'd grow up dumb if he didn't do it at least once every 3 days. But the old bitch didn't need to worry. He snickered in his heart. He'd been dumb for far too long already. When he finally escaped that house, he ended up being barked at by dogs and ignored by Yumi, whom he once thought he'd marry one day. His blood boiled at the idea that she might have found a boyfriend and had been spreading her legs for him every night without his knowledge. Minus 100 points. The school was an even bigger hell. The almost stereotypical scum of the earth, Shohei, would follow him everywhere. There had been a momentary respite when Aizawa disappeared, but now it had become even worse. Shohei might have been scared to go too far in front of the other guy, but now he really went nuts. Minus 200 points. The classmate that seemed to attempt to save him once, Fukugami, was now giving him weird looks. Just what was up with him? Wasn't he supposed to be the hero to save him from this hell? The teachers ignored him, even though his body was covered with bruises. He remembered his father saying that he had a good build and could do well in a fight, but his mother completely flew off the handle when she heard that, calling him all the names in the book. She insisted that he could never do anything dangerous, that even a driver's license was out of the question. Not like he knew how to fight anyway. Ignored even in the club, he didn't have a single friend. All he could do was go straight home after school, the same thing over and over every day. The sewage tank in his heart filled to the brim over and over again. He wanted to kill everyone. First would be Shohei, of course. Fukugami also deserved to die for giving him hope. Then that annoying dog should be beaten to death, and he'd stab Yumi in the cunt with a rake if she was no longer a virgin. Ouch. Shohei punched his shoulder with all his strength. Just what was up with him babbling some nonsense until he got hit? He really must have gone off the deep end. It hurt so bad that Yuichi had trouble holding a pencil. Giving up on pretending to take notes, he stuffed the pencil into his chest pocket, then cocked his head. He didn't remember it being a habit of his to put his pencil there. The bell signaled the beginning of the lunch break. Nothing unusual happened, but the Bodocks were still around. It'd be nice if this ended without anything happening. Yeah, we promised to have lunch with everyone today. It wasn't like we had anything new to discuss, but seeing each other's faces was a relief for us all. Let's go. Walk, you fat pig. We're going to the roof. Shohei rammed his knee in the Seki's thigh. That kind of thing hurt worse than it looked. What's that? Even Kirito noticed something wasn't right. I wasn't in a position to tell them what to do, but I figured I should still at least warn them. I don't think you should go there. Walk already. Is something wrong with the roof? No, I just thought it wasn't a good idea to be in an isolated place at a time like this. We reported what we'd witnessed over the morning as we ate. The three had no particular news to share, which was a relief. Maybe it'll pass just like this. Huh? Why? Look. Arasaka nodded as if she were alluding to our surroundings. The number of Bodoks seemed to be decreasing. Ah, you're right. I only realized that when she mentioned it. That was pretty dim of me. It'd be nice if it just stayed like this for the rest of the day and tomorrow. Yeah. This allowed us to eat in peace at least, but my hand suddenly froze with that thought. Huh? Wait, Kirito, how did the classroom look when we were leaving? Huh? Well, I wasn't really looking since the two distracted me. Me too, but now it feels like the Bodoks suddenly disappeared when we left. You mean they possess your classmates? No. I closed my eyes and recalled what it looked like. Shoei pulled Seki out of the classroom. Kirito and I returned to our seats to take our lunch boxes from our bags, and when we turned around again... Fukugami, what's wrong? It's Seki and Shohei. The Bodoks disappeared when those two left. Kirito let out a small gasp from behind me. Bodoks had surrounded the roof. It was like a stage to them, and they were waiting to see a spectacle. And in the center stood Seki. I couldn't see Shohei anywhere. My blood froze in the warm summer air when I realized what that likely meant. Hey! I let out a cry and grabbed Seki's shoulder. Face me, Seki. But his reaction afterwards came as a surprise. He turned around in an obvious display of fear. What? His eyes were wide and his mouth agape as if gasping for air. I was so close I could tell his breath stank pretty bad. Seki scaredly stared at my face without saying anything, which is probably normal for him. I let him go. This wasn't a dream. There was nothing secure no more dreamers could do here. But I had to confirm one thing. Where's Shohei? What? Huh? Flustered, Seki looked around the otherwise empty roof. That was some impressive acting. Where did Shohei go? Where did he go? I asked first. It didn't seem like I'd receive an answer, so I changed the subject. Your lip looked swollen. Did he hit you? He started mumbling instead of giving me a proper answer. No way, he'll punch me again. Again, that mental case. The Bodoks disappeared. I nodded. That meant the show was already over. One of them might have actually been Shohei. I have to text. At least if I text. Seki began tracing his hand along his humongous body, looking for the phone. He froze when he touched his chest pocket. Huh? A pencil? He cocked his head and pressed his fingers against it harder. What's wrong with it? No. Seki shook his hand without looking at me. Instead, he fixed his eyes on the phone screen and walked away, completely ignoring us. There we go. That should be better. Do you suspect that guy was possessed? Yeah. Do you have any proof? You said Bodoks disappeared when they left the classroom. I didn't have any proof except for the fact that he laughed like the Joker, but that didn't matter anymore. One of our classmates disappeared, just now. There was only one person when we came here, but two of them went to the roof. The other one disappeared. Everyone warily looked around the deserted rooftop. It's just, I've got my suspicions, but nothing concrete. It seems we have no choice but to look for proof in the dream.
Yeah.
We headed toward the exit. I haven't heard this tune before. Fukugami, what's wrong? No, I felt like I heard something. What? I turned to the roof again. I didn't realize it earlier, but the clamor of the lunch break reached all the way here. You sure you didn't just imagine it? I nodded, took my place beside her, and followed the others off the roof. Kirito gave me a smile as we left the school after the clubs ended. The president praised me earlier. It's worth reading that textbook so seriously. Why are you laughing? Did we really read it seriously? I think I did, for the most part. Haha. Kirito blushed and smiled as I chuckled. It had been 2 days since our moment in the classroom. But the situation had changed drastically since then. I couldn't help feeling a bit down by how sudden everything changed. It had only been 2 days, yet it felt like the distant past now. What's with the long face? She took my hand after we'd walked for a while. I felt better the moment she did that. No, I just thought that everything changed so suddenly. Yeah, that's true. One of our classmates was killed again. Shohei didn't return after the break. And would probably never again. It seems like it's finally time for Sakura no Mori Dreamers to act again. Yeah. It's alright. With the team we have right now, the Bodok won't last a single dive. Yeah. That was probably true. Kirito had a mysterious ability to make you believe her. And I had the pleasure to be going out with her. Or rather, it'd be inconvenient if we couldn't do that, I mean, this whole thing is forcing you to make faces like that. She pinched my cheek. I can't allow that. On a personal level. Kirito gave me a mischievous smile, and I couldn't help curling my lips as well. I explained to everyone the relationship between the two when we all gathered. Though I admitted the part about the laugh, only me and Monica knew what it meant. The name of the suspect is Seki Yuichi. He's a classmate of ours, so we obviously know what he looks like. The victim is Shohei. What's his last name again? Anyway, he never returned, neither after lunch nor after school. But how? Yeah, which makes it very likely he has been killed. Thinking of the place, Shizumiya lowered her voice a little. Everyone gloomily stared at the table. Some traced their fingers along the edges of their mugs, some played with their empty straw wrappers. I never liked Shohei much, but that didn't mean he deserved to die. This was basically the same as when Izawa died. It wasn't okay to kill people, no matter how awful they were. I wasn't a hero, but I nonetheless felt righteous indignation. In any case, currently we had to focus on eliminating the monster inside Seki as quickly as possible. Our town might once again fall into the hands of an indiscriminate serial killer. Are you okay with doing it tonight, Mahoro? Yes, of course. Everyone else too? Everyone nodded. I read a book, then spaced out for some time as I waited for our mission to begin. But then I suddenly thought of summoning Rika. Hey, Rika. It's quite unusual to have you address me first. Is there something you need? Was the bad feeling that was interfering with your sleep related to Seki after all? I don't know. I never even noticed that young man. Then is there something else? I had enough trouble as it was, but his reply didn't give me anything concrete. I don't know. Perhaps so, perhaps not. In any case, someone has been murdered in your vicinity, again. It seems like it was a good idea for me to stay awake after all. Yeah. I felt like I couldn't deny it and nodded, but then cocked my head. Wait. The next battle is going to happen within a dream, which means I won't need your help. But in the worst case, you can use my powers to eliminate this Seki person. I've already told you I'd never do such a thing. I said so in an exasperated tone, but I couldn't tell how Rika would interpret it, since he possessed no facial expressions. I'm just saying you can. The best weapon is the one you never have to use. In any case, I won't become a murderer. That's where I draw the line. We'll see. What do you mean? That was oddly foreboding. You keep saying you would never commit murder, but... When I was still sleeping, I clearly sensed differently. You genuinely wanted to kill Hide. That's... My voice faltered, but Rika remained perfectly composed. I am, of course, not trying to blame you. It makes sense to eliminate that kind of danger in the most efficient way possible. Back then, I still didn't care much about my own life. I wasn't trying to reply to him directly. I'm different now. Rika pulled away without saying anything. Well then, I'll be on my way, Mom. Yes, good luck. Miss Miyako still didn't seem to believe us, but she treated our activities much more positively lately. One reason for that was probably because I introduced Kirito and she liked her, and the other was because Hatsune started participating in them. Miss Miyako seemed to be worried how she would always get left behind. I mounted my bike and headed to Kirito's house. I'm scared. These things are happening all over again. Yeah, but now we know the culprit, which makes everything a lot easier. Yeah. I made sure to pay careful attention to my surroundings as I pedaled. I could glimpse Bodox here and there. The atmosphere of Sakura Nomori right now felt just like when the Joker was alive. Did that mean that Seki, despite his looks, is actually a monster inside? It's been a while since we all gathered like this. Indeed. It might sound a bit imprudent, but I'm glad to see us back together. Yeah. The circumstances aside, it was an amazing feeling to work for a singular goal with a trustworthy team. That thought alone raised my spirits. Can you hear me, everyone? Yes. I do. Yeah. Anyway, Seki is currently... where is he? Shizumiya fell silent, trying to track his presence. I looked around the park. It's been a while since I saw it like this. Last time was when we dove into Hide's dream. There was a crying child here, which for some reason looked like me. Is something wrong? You're spacing out. No. It's been a while, but get a grip of yourself. You are our ace, Fukugami. Me? I gave her an awkward smile. Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, he's my boyfriend and all. I don't think that has anything to do with it. Why am I crying like Hide in his dream? That remained a mystery despite all of Chief Kuroda's findings. Is he at school? I know, he's heading toward it. He's on the move. Anyway, you should all go to the school building for starters. Roger. The cry of a dog reaches from somewhere near the school. That was a dog, wasn't it? That's how it sounded to me, too. and seemed to be whimpering or something. It sounded like it was in pain, a voice that was quite unbearable to listen to. We exchanged suspicious looks. Let's check it out. Seki! Seki looked over his shoulder at us. He held a bat covered with blood and patches of fur in his hands. He didn't seem to panic despite the circumstances we found him in. He just looked at us sharply. It was completely different from the sacred expression he'd wear in the classroom. The scared expression, not sacred. Oh my god, just what is wrong with this guy? The dog laid in a pool of its own blood. His skull was bashed in and gory remains were spattered all about. Splattered all about. Yeah, he definitely looks like the type to get possessed. Yeah. The two exchanged nods, trying their best to avert their eyes from the grotesque mess. Yet I couldn't help but try to catch a glimpse. No matter how awful it looked, it was just a dream. It was different from what it would look like in the real world. No matter how awful it looked, it was just a dream. It was different from what it would look like in the real world. Then there was Seki's brazen attitude. The difference between that and how he acted in the real world bothered me. Seki began drawing away, the fat on his obese body swaying with every step. His back is completely open. Wait! Huh? Let's observe him for a while longer. Okay. Kirito stuffed her fan back into her kimono with a somewhat dissatisfied expression. Seki didn't pay us any attention even though we walked right behind him. His boldness was the complete opposite from how he acted in the real life. Do you remember the rumors about Katsuragi? How he used to torture animals too? Yes, but that happened in reality. What do you mean? I mean that it's different from a dream. That's true, but Shizumiya sounded a bit puzzled. Is something bothering you? I don't know. Just his attitude is so different from how he is in real life. I nodded towards him. He even walked differently. He usually stuck to corners and moved along the wall as though trying to shrink his large body. Yet now, he walked with his hands in his pockets in the middle of the sidewalk. He looked almost like a delinquent. There was a pair of students making out in front of the school gate. Hmm? What's that? Are they kissing? It looks like it. Weird. I'd never seen anyone do that in front of the school gates of all places. Seki hurried his pace as soon as he saw the two. An aura of intense anger radiated from his every motion. He now somehow had a large stake in his hand. What are you gonna do? Treat him like a vampire? There was an almost comic absurdity to this notion of violence. He stabbed the stake in between the woman's legs and raised her into the air above his head. Well, this was a dream after all. He then used the bat to beat the man to death, tossed the woman's body aside, and walked through the gate, breathing heavily. This guy's a fucking murderer. Well, what was that supposed to be? Rather than scared, the two seemed confused more than anything. What's bothering you, Fukugami? Kirito asked me as we followed Seki further. I'm not sure exactly, but Seki just feels too different here. What do you mean? Katsuragi and Tonosawa remained more or less the same in the dream. While Tonosawa was putting an act in the real world, but her real personality was the same. So the difference here kind of bothers me. It seemed like I didn't explain myself too well, as the two just gave me puzzled looks. It was frustrating not to be able to convey my thoughts, but I couldn't quite pinpoint the route from which they stemmed from myself. I felt like I was just outside my reach, except... We walked along the corridor. It seemed Seki was heading to the classroom. Huh? Isn't that... Yes, it's the boy that Katsuragi murdered in front of us. I think his name was Aizawa. The two appeared in Seki's dream from beyond the grave. He approached him and slipped his arms between each of their shoulders. Stop! No, not again, Mr. Seki. The two were on the verge of tears and an utterly pathetic look as they regarded Seki. Crack! He smashed their heads together, over and over again. A dull thud of bone on bone reverberated across the corridor with every hit. I see. These are his suppressed desires.
Gumball?
What? He hated the two, and I can't blame him for it. As such, I'm sure this is exactly what he wanted to do them inside. The dog and the couple in front of the school gate were probably in some way related to him as well. He couldn't possibly do that in the real world. So? Yeah, in other words, I think this is just his brain letting off some steam. Steam? Are you saying he wouldn't be capable of this in the real world? That was exactly what was bothering me. Huh? Wait a second. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, I know. I nodded as I watched Seki continue torturing the two. I knew it didn't add up. Well, all we can do is check for ourselves. Yes. All will be clear once we reach the core. Yeah, I'll do it. Seki. Huh? Seki turned to me, still holding the two. He really looked like a different person from the one in the real world. Shohei and Aizawa looked pretty dead already. Their legs were limp along the floor. Right, you. You never saved me. Huh? I thought you were a hero. But you didn't save me. You know, that is actually on him. Like, that's on Shinji, dude. Because Shinji did have a lot of time to go in there and fucking say, hey, stop hitting him. Like, I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, but then some people would be like, well, yeah, you know, the bullies are essential because he's supposed to stand up to the bully. Well, he could have at least said to Seki, you know, why don't you stand up to him? But that probably would have ended up in the massacre we see. It'd just be in real life, which may have already happened anyway. So I guess he did finally stand up to him, but it is what it is. I'm nothing like that. Seki tossed the bodies of the two away. A bloody bat reappeared in his hands. I felt a rush of air above my head. Good thing he made the swing so obvious, as I'd been dead if I caught that head on. I ran my fist into his protruding belly from my crouched position. Why would you hit him in the stomach? Okay, guess it worked. He went down like a sack of potatoes. He bent forward and plopped down on his backside. That actually seemed enough for the gates of the core to instantly appear. Wow. We're gonna win this one quick, aren't we? It's really been a while since we've been here. Arisaka looked around. I don't like the atmosphere here. Yeah. Not being big fans of horror, the two clung to each other. You really are amazing after all, Fukugami. Hmm? You went to the core on your first dive and all by yourself. An average person would just be swallowed by the atmosphere here. Yet you not only avoided that, but defeated the Bodok as well. I don't mind horror movies. Maybe it's got something to do with that. Still, I may just too late, but I'm impressed you managed to win against that Bodok. You can't really defeat them using any typical means. Well, Madoka helped me, or Madoka, whatever. Okay, they're saying Madoka. I see, Madoka did. Oh yeah, I think I forgot to tell you, but she has passed to the other world a while back. I'd like to think that being able to declare it so calmly was a testament to my growth. So we won't be having help from her again. Am I supposed to close my eyes and look for the Bodok without focusing on my five senses? Yes, exactly. I nodded. I hoped everything would go according to the plan this time. That said, I wasn't worried. There's no way that Bodok stood a chance against all three of us. As such, despite some tension, I prepared for the fight pretty optimistically, but Huh? The Bodok wasn't there. It was just like that time with Tsukuda. A single soul floating in the center of the room, nothing else. Let's have a closer look. I felt like my expectations were both betrayed and right on point at the same time. I had the feeling that Bodok might not have been inside him after all. But that didn't make sense. We stood in front of the soul. It doesn't look damaged at all. Yeah. Whoops. It was in perfect shape. It didn't look like any of it had been devoured at all. Tsukuda was just like that as well. This is weird. Really weird. It seems like he wasn't possessed after all, but then... But then, who killed the other guy? Arasaka continued the thought as Kirito and I fell silent. No, wait. Are we even sure the other guy is dead? He didn't return after the break, or the end of school even. But that guy is supposed to be a delinquent, right? He could have skipped school and went home, no? Without his bag? Well, we can see tomorrow. Yeah. In any case, our culprit turned out to be innocent. But who else could have done it then? If a murder really happened, that is. I couldn't answer. I had no idea what was going on either. Okay. I really hope we find Shohei in the classroom. Yeah, we were tense as we walked. All would be clear once we reached the classroom. Good morning, Did you two have a fight or something? One of our classmates addressed us with a meaningful smile. You both look really serious today. Kirito chuckled as the girl walked away. Is that how we look? It seems that everyone already knows about us somehow. Yes, we haven't even revealed it publicly. That's weird, but well, it doesn't matter. I could see Kirito's mouth curling into a grin. Not many girls will think you're still available now. It's not like anyone's paying attention to me anyway. I wouldn't be so sure. While we're on the subject, I think I got the better deal. Me? I don't think a single guy has ever approached me in class. It was just because she was misunderstood, but I decided not to tell her. The lighthearted conversation heightened our spirits a little bit, but... Our pleasant mood promptly vanished the moment we entered our classroom. Shohei was nowhere to be seen. It's still not set in stone. A delinquent like him might just be late. Yeah. We split up and I returned to my seat. Shohei's desk looked just like it did yesterday, his bag hanging in the same place. It felt a bit weird to be so concerned about his whereabouts when I didn't even like the guy. After thinking for a while, I stood up and walked to Seki's seat. Seki. He let out a cry just from a simple address. Was that because of the dream? There's something I'd like to ask you. Thinking of my surroundings, I stooped and whispered to his ear. He smelled a bit, but it was just sweat, not rotten flesh or anything like that. Seki froze. I didn't mean anything by it, but just leaning toward him might have looked like I was going to pick on him. Could you tell me exactly what happened on the roof yesterday? He didn't answer, but there was no way he couldn't hear me. I'm worried about Shohei. He didn't answer, but there was no way he couldn't hear me. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what happened there. That's weird. I don't know how that happened. Seki's throat moved as though he was about to say something, but no sound came out. I raised my face to the sound of the opening door. Good morning. I'll be back later. The homeroom teacher paused in the middle of taking the attendance. I see Shoei is not here today. Okay, that's how it goes. Shoei is not here today. Where on earth could he have disappeared to? The homeroom teacher. Okay, hold on. Alright, I'll be back later. Good morning. I raised my face to the sound of the opening door, but no sound came out. Seki's throat. Hold on. Hold on now. Alright, there we go. Sorry, his parents informed us that he didn't come back home yesterday. A murmur rose in the classroom. Was he spirited away? Yeah, it's weird. Why would he leave his bag otherwise? His phone appears to be in working order, but he doesn't answer. Phone? His parents are considering going to the police if he doesn't come home soon. Does anyone here have any idea where he could have gone? Murmuring filled the classroom again, but no one had any answers. All the while, Seki just stared at his desk, pale as a ghost. I approached Seki as soon as the lunch break started. Seki, ignoring the fact that he didn't respond, I drew my face close to him again. Did you text Shoei yesterday? Did he answer you? I don't know anything. He was acting strange. At first I thought it was because of the dream, but that didn't seem to be the case. Kirito approached me as I let him be. What happened? He looks like he's trembling. I don't know, but I think he knows something. Ah, Fukugami, you forgot your lunchbox. No, I was just thinking to drop it by the roof first. The roof? What for? There's something bothering me. I didn't go into detail because I wanted to be there by myself. But Kirito... Okay, then just give me a moment. She hurried back to the classroom and returned empty-handed. Let's go. I thought it'd make more sense for me to go alone. Why? We're a couple, aren't we? I thought we were supposed to always act together. That's true. I don't think this will be any fun. Yeah. She nodded but showed no signs of changing her mind, so we began moving. So what's bothering you today? Remember how I turned behind after hearing something on the roof yesterday? Yes, what about it? It sounded like a phone notification. And Seki was texting Shoei right at that time. Huh? Are you telling me he was hiding there or something? Maybe, but I've got no idea why he would do that. A gust of wind rushed into the building as we opened the door. Both of us frowned at the same time. Huh? This stench. I didn't exactly like it, but I've been used to the smell by now. The stench of rotting flesh. It stinks so bad it was almost impossible to breathe there. I see, it's still pretty hot outside. Scorched by the hot late summer sun, the roof was hazy and sweltering. What are you thinking, Fukugami? Kirito gave me a scared look. Yeah, we might have misunderstood something. What do you mean? Not everyone has to be possessed to commit murder. Kirito widened her eyes as the meaning behind my words sunk in. She looked away from me and toward the barren rooftop. There were plenty of murders that left bodies behind. Then, are you saying, in that moment... We exchanged looks. We both knew what we just heard. Stay here. Wait. She caught me by the elbow. I'll go, too. I don't think you should look. This isn't a dream. Yes, but... She strengthened her grip. I said nothing and slowly approached the area where the sound came from. I remembered something that happened in the past. It felt like ages ago, but in reality, it had actually been just a few months since then. There was a time I snuck into Forza Secure Namori's kitchen to look for Tono's body. I remember that. The tiny worms guided me there. And now it was the smell. The stench that was the last thing I wanted to breathe. It grew stronger as I came closer. Others' view. What was going on? Just what was going on? Without even getting out his lunch, Seki Yuichi sat in his seat and stared at his desk during the lunch break. He shook all over as though he had a fever. That must have looked quite unnormal, but no one paid him any attention. It wasn't the first time everyone ignored him. He cursed that fact at the beginning, but now he was grateful for it, as he definitely preferred that to Fukugami whispering weird things to his ear. His mouth felt dry and he wasn't hungry at all. That really was pretty unusual for a hefty eater like him. He had to dispose of the contents of his lunchbox after school, or his idiot of a mother would suffer an aneurysm and call an ambulance or something. These kind of meaningless thoughts floated up to his consciousness, but he knew that was just an attempt to run from reality. He'd been worried about a certain image that wouldn't leave his head all morning. He never even considered that until yesterday, but it felt different from his usual wishful daydreams. He had loved nothing better than it for it to be one of them, but the image in his head just looked too real. Where the hell did I put my pencil? It was just a normal pencil. He didn't care about losing it. But he could understand how it just disappeared without his knowledge. Well, hold on. But he couldn't understand how it just disappeared without his knowledge. He definitely had it in his pocket yesterday. He remembered thinking that it wasn't like him to put it there when he actually did it. Shohei brought him back to the rooftop, or brought him to the rooftop, and then the pencil was gone when he came back. And the terrifying image that came up when he thought of its whereabouts. He tightly closed his eyes. Just what was going on? Did he really do it? He was a different person in his daydreams, killing annoying dogs and sometimes raping the girl of his dreams, Yumi, but those were just wishful delusions, nothing more. His grades might have been bad, but he wasn't insane. He could tell reality from a dream. But then that opened the door to another crazy thought. If he was sane, then what was up with that image in his mind? The one with Shohei having a pencil sticking out of his eye. I couldn't help letting out a cry, even though I half expected to find something like this. The black insects covering his body all flew away as we stepped closer. The flapping of their wings, coupled with the ghastly sight, made me feel like I was going out of my mind. The insects started returning as we remained still. The flapping of their wings ceased. They didn't even seem scared of humans. If anything, they were. I stood there with my mind painting a blank. This is awful. Yeah. I gulped down my sticky saliva, my sense of smell growing numb to the extent I could barely smell anything. My eyes, though, couldn't get used to the sight. It was just too viscerally real for me to ignore. A living and moving person had turned into a motionless thing, and as nature dictated, it started to decompose. It was only natural, but so hard to accept as a human being. Let's go. I think we should tell this to the teachers. I examined the body, waving the insects away. Why would a student do something like this? A pencil? A pencil was sticking out of Shoei's eye. It looked like a lethal wound. Pencil. Hey, Fukugami! Kirito shook my shoulder and I finally stood up. I turned around to see her white as rabbit fur. Are you okay? Yes, I think. Even a stout-hearted girl like herself couldn't help being shocked by the sight. And I was no exception either. My lips were numb as if I had just fallen into a lake or a pond. You warned me. I should have listened. This means this incident wasn't related to us after all. We just have to report this to the teachers and it's gonna be over. Yeah. Rika addressed me in a quiet voice as we headed to the teacher's room. I wonder about that. What? I'm still skeptical whether this really isn't related to your line of work. What was he going on about? This wasn't just a murder. Not related to us in any way. All we had to do was report it. Huh? The homeroom teacher was speechless for a few moments. That's surely impossible. You shouldn't try to fool around with teachers like that. I think you'll be convinced once you actually see it. Alright. The homeroom teacher stepped toward the door, then suddenly turned around. Would you come with me? Huh? Me? Yes, officially after you discovered the body. Officially you discovered the body, rather. That one is a coward. That was probably true. I let out a breath. You just need me? Kirito, I think you can go. Huh? I guess I'll do that. Sorry. Yeah. The homeroom teacher and I headed to the roof. Ugh, the smell. It's in the shadow of the water tank. The homeroom teacher turned to me, looking at like he was about to be sick. Can you come with me? All right. The teacher quickly left the roof once we confirmed the body. I stopped by the door. Teacher said something about preserving the scene, but I knew what he really meant by it. Though I wasn't sure why he thought it was a good idea to leave it to a student. The stench assaulted my nostrils even from this distance. I felt it was even worse further away, as it wouldn't numb my sense of smell enough that I could ignore it. You are too soft-hearted. You could have used this time to go and have lunch. Yeah, I agreed with Rika for once, though this kind of ruined my appetite. That's not good. You have to provide your body with nutrients. I didn't know you were my mother. I'm more concerned about your health than anyone in such a position. It's yourself that you're concerned about. There was no awning by the entrance, so I ended up having to stand in direct sunlight. There was some shade by the water tower, but I didn't feel like going there. Teacher didn't come back until I heard the sound of sirens in the distance. I opened my mouth after waiting for a bit longer. Rika, do you remember how Seiki was mumbling something about a pencil? Yes, it seems like he was the culprit after all. Yes, there's little doubt about that, but the way he acted. I thought he was quite an impressive actor back then, but he said he didn't know what happened to Shohei, and seemed even more surprised about the disappearance of his pencil than us. That might be the problem here. What do you mean? Speaking of which, you were saying something strange earlier. What was that all about? The body didn't disappear. That means it's not a job for us. It's just a premonition I have. Premonition? I said it in a mocking tone, but it's probably not wise to ignore that coming from Rika, of all people. In any case, it was true that another murderer happened, and near me at that. I was thinking, but do you really believe that Seki killed Shohei? Again with the strange things. I gave my left hand a dubious look, but Rika continued in a calm tone. Seki wasn't possessed by a Bodok, so it's really a question of whether he is someone who is capable of murder. I wouldn't know. I started growing annoyed. He did it because it was possible. That alone was true. There are no other suspects. I can't think of anyone being able to pull it off besides him. Didn't you just say he was the culprit yourself? No. What I meant was... Seki's modus operandi reminds me of those possessed by red Bodoks. So? The sirens cease as they reach the school. I'll tell you later. Oh? The detective cocked his head as he saw me. That refreshed my memory. I saw him before. You were in the Italian place, around April. Yes. I gave the man a small bow. I remembered the young detective beside him, too. Are you alone? Where's the teacher that called us? I paused and cocked my head. The detective returned an understanding smile. Well, that's fine. Ugh, it stinks like a sore here. I never knew it could get like that outside. I'm impressed you can stand this. Kasai. Stop flapping your lips and get to work. I'm Morita, by the way. What about you? I'm Fukugami. Fukugami, I'd like to ask you a few questions before the forensic team arrives. I nodded. Not that I could refuse. He asked me when we discovered the body and whether we touched it for anything else. We touched it or anything else. And also if we noticed anything unusual in the area. And finally... How did you know you would find him on the roof? He addressed me with a gentle expression and tone, but his eyes looked sharp. He'd see right through me if I tried to lie. I didn't know. It's just he was missing since yesterday, and the last time I saw him was here. Well, I didn't really see him. I saw him head to the roof, and then came to check up on him. I told the detective everything that had happened except for the Bodox, of course. Why did he go to the roof? Was there anyone with him? I was waiting for that question. There was someone with him. Who was that? Seki, from the same class. The two detectives exchanged meaningful looks at each other. I could have gone further and told them more, but they probably didn't need it. Besides, I might only make things confusing since some of my information came from the dream. I heard a large amount of footsteps approach us from below. It seemed that the forensic team had finally arrived. It didn't take long for the rumors to spread. A student died, or rather got killed at school. The classes were replaced with self-study instead. But the atmosphere was much more tense than last time. The police came to ask us all questions afterwards, but I didn't think that was the only reason for keeping us inside. The murderer was among us. Everyone was terrified by the idea and whispered among each other. This was beyond the reach of Sakura no Mori dreamers at this point, but I still couldn't help keeping an eye on Seki. Have you eaten, Fukugami? No, not yet. I can't say I'm particularly hungry. Me neither. I was thinking we'd eat together when you came back, but... You haven't eaten either? Then would you like to have something? We were supposed to be studying, but there was not a single person doing that. Well, I don't have an appetite either. Let's eat a bit later. It probably wouldn't be good to skip it entirely. I nodded. It'd be rude to Miss Miyako to leave it. I stood up. Fukugami? I gave her a small nod, and not answering, walked to him. Are you okay, Seki? His face shot up, beads of sweat covering his forehead. I knew he was the murderer, but I still had to say it. No, you just looked like you were sick. I felt everyone's eyes turning to us. It was unusual for me to talk to him, not to even mention the current circumstances. His mouth was agape, like a fish, staring at me. His eyes looked like they were pleading for help. I lowered my voice. I can't save you. I'm not a hero. The thing he said in the dream. I thought you were a hero, but you didn't save me. You probably really thought that. You should wipe off that sweat. Seki didn't answer. I placed a pack of tissues on his desk and turned around. The classroom froze. What are you laughing about at a time like this? One of our classmates turned all red, reprimanding Seki for his behavior. Everyone gave him an uncomfortable look. As for him, he seemed confused. He shrunk his large body to the best of his ability, only his eyes darting him from one side to another, seemingly completely clueless what made him deserve all these looks. I returned to my seat. He's seriously weird. Kirito too narrowed her eyes in distaste. Yeah. I answered her, but my mind was elsewhere, as I just thought of the possibilities. A Bodok? A Bodok slipped inside the room like a snake through the crack below the door. They filled the classroom before we had the chance to even react. They moved among the desks and stuck to the ceiling like they owned the place. I reflexively took Kirito's hand and checked the timer. The needle pointed at zero. The doors opened and everyone turned. The homeroom teacher and two detectives entered. There was also a Bodok behind them, but it quickly jumped into someone. Is something the matter, Fukugami? No. I gritted my teeth. I couldn't even warn them. We knew what would happen now better than anyone. You can go to the bathroom if you wish. I silently shook my head and leaned back. Ahem, there is something I have to tell all of you. The homeroom teacher gave us the gist of the situation and introduced the two detectives. A melancholic atmosphere fell onto the room. The presence of actual murder investigators made everyone realize the gravity of the situation. I was also filled with an insane amount of Botox, but no one knew that besides us. I'm Morita. I'm Morita, and this is Kasai. We'd like to ask all of you a few things. I imagine some of you may be very busy, so we apologize about the inconvenience, but nothing can be done about that at the moment. His voice held a tone of authority. No one protested. We won't take long. We have a whole team of interviewers, so this should be quick. The homeroom teacher handed the detective our attendance list. Everyone thought they'd start from the first letter in the alphabet, but... then, Seki, could you stand up? Is something the matter? Seki remained seated, shaking like a leaf. I could tell he looked pale like a dead man, even from the distance, a waterfall of sweat running down his forehead. The youngest detective approached him. Please stand up. They didn't seem to treat him like he was a suspect yet. The detective's expression changed. What the hell are you laughing for, kid? Calm down, Kasai. Seki instantly jumped to his feet. The classroom fell deadly silent. As such, that sound seemed a lot louder than it should have. Watch out! It was probably best that my warning came too late. Oh? There was no one who could instantly react to what Seki did. A red mist sprayed across the room. There was the sound of something wet behind his voice. I heard something similar when Katsuragi died. The nearby students jumped out of their seats, their faces covered with blood. Detective Kasai's well-built body collapsed to the ground. As if that were the cue, all the students dashed towards the door. The Botox disappeared. It seemed that satisfied the faceless bastards. Seki remained standing. He stared at the ground, his shoulders trembling. It was just like back then. It sounded like he was crying, continuing endlessly despite constant intermissions. That was the person in front of me right now. Morita pointed his gun at him, his finger on the trigger. Hands up! Seki suddenly stopped laughing and raised his face a mask of confusion. It was the same as when everyone glared at him. Okay, yeah, that's true, okay. Huh? What's happening? Hands up! He awkwardly raised his hand, seemingly unable to process what the screams were about. His blood-covered hands. Another group of detectives stormed into the room and apprehended Seki in seconds. He let out a cry of pain as he was forced to the ground, handcuffs locking around his hands. I looked away. He wasn't my friend, but I couldn't watch someone I knew being treated so rough. It sounded like a plea for help. Unable to stand it anymore, I rushed out of the classroom. Fukugami, is everything okay? I nodded and mumbled without turning around. I'm sorry, but could you give me some time alone? I slid past the noisy crowd in the corridor to the exit and into the inner yard. I heard the sound of sirens again in the distance. These sounded like ambulances. I doubted that detective would survive at this point. Did you see that, Rika? Or did I hallucinate it? It was Hide! I took a deep breath. Rika could see Madoka, which many could see ghosts. Hide returned to me even after death. That was what I meant. That was what I meant back on the roof. Huh? Similar. Seki wasn't possessed by a Bodok, but an evil spirit. I nodded. Yeah, I just thought of that possibility earlier. However, this is certainly bad. Do you remember how Shohei also laughed like that once he was still alive? Do you remember how Shohei also laughed like that once when he was still alive? Yeah. I gulped, a shiver running down my spine. It seems he can move from body to body, which makes this pretty complicated for us. One thing urban areas certainly didn't lack was people, and I had my family at home. Not to mention my girlfriend was always by my side. The thought made me lightheaded, a person I love suddenly attacking me. What about running to an uninhabited island? I can't do that. Well, I didn't really expect you to. It's not just me that's in danger. Hide destroys all the lives he touches. Just look at Seki. Are you saying that stopping him is more important than your safety? Yes. You are too emotional for your own good, as always. Rika pulled away. It's not that. If my supposition was true, I had to protect not only myself, but all the people dear to me, including the one most important to me. I was only acting for my own benefit. I was no hero. I remember the details of what had happened as I walked back to the classroom. I never told Hide about being able to see ghosts, so he likely didn't know that. Which is why he stared at me without any reservations, thinking I couldn't see him. The Joker. He was out to torment me, even after death. I gritted my teeth and surpassed a shudder, but this was also an opportunity. This time I would really put an end to him, and with my own hands. Chapter 13. Hidenori Yutsuka. Or Yatsuka. Let me see if that is the final chapter. I think it is the last chapter in this route. Alright, let's see here. Yes, we're there. This is the final chapter of Sakura Nomori Dreamers. At least in this route. Though we've been playing this for a long time, I need you guys to realize that this is only one route of many in the game. There's more. There's actually a little bit more. There's still several other characters you can play, and there's a true ending. I will be playing all those for myself, probably a much faster pace, like where I can finish it in like a day. But for you guys, it probably would be best that you go ahead and pick the game up. I think they're still doing the summer sale at Manga Gamer, and if they are, then you could pick this game up for a little cheaper than normal. If not, just wait for their next sale. I think they're going to do a little Halloween sale. Maybe a fall sale. There's a possibility they'll do a little fall sale. If they do and this game is offered, I'll let you know. And you guys can go pick it up for yourself and play through it and get the rest. But this is it. This is the final chapter that we're going to do. We got it at Kirito's house again that night. But you get it. Kirito's grandfather was here too tonight, wearing a grim expression. I heard what had happened. Another murder. The culprit is a student from our school named Seki. He's exactly the person who we've been investigating, so it turns out we weren't wrong exactly, but... But according to Kirito, the body of the victim didn't disappear, did it? Yes, yesterday we confirmed that Seki wasn't possessed by a red bodok. In that case, Kirito's grandfather gave me a slightly puzzled look. The culprit is just a regular murderer, is that it? No. I shook my head. I didn't have time to tell Kirito everything, so her grandfather still didn't know all that was going on. I've mentioned it before, but I turned to everyone. I can see ghosts. I thought there was no longer any point to that power after Madoka passed onto the other world, but it seems that that isn't the case. I explained to them what had been lurking inside Seki. Kirito's grandfather groaned with a sour expression. I'd like to ask one thing. Is Hidenori Kamijo's ghost able to possess anyone he wishes? That possibility is high. They're not. Broadcasting the news at this hour. Kirito's grandfather placed the remote down and turned to Kirito. Kureha, you can look at the news on your phone, can't you? Can you do that for me? The news? Okay. Kirito fiddled with the phone and let out a gasp. There's been a murder at the station. The station? You mean Sakura Nomori Station? Kirito nodded. What the hell's going on? It happened just a couple of minutes ago. There are multiple victims. Kirito took a deep breath. The culprit has been apprehended on site and stresses that he has no recollection of doing anything. No recollection? That's just like Seki. He was surprised by his own actions too. I see. That's why he looked so confused. I thought it was an act at first, but it turned out that he had really no idea what was happening. But it doesn't seem that his memories vanished completely. He looked pretty sick when he showed up to school this morning, so he probably has a vague recollection of what happened. Just to confirm, there was nothing you could do in his dream yesterday, could you? No, there wasn't. In that case, there's little Sakura Nomori Dreamers can do about this. Kirito's grandfather rubbed his chin. One thing we know is Hide's the Joker's target. Who's that? Me. He has some sort of obsessive attachment to me. Just like I was to him before. But I had a proper reason while he... That's one thing I still didn't understand. And that makes it your responsibility to face him? Yes, I'm certain he'll appear before me one way or another. I had nowhere to run. The situation was just like when I had to face him when he was still alive. But how are you planning to fight him? I can't imagine a way. Hide doesn't know I can see ghosts. So? So I can catch him with his guard down. Kirito's grandfather's face remained grim. I called Kirito after returning home. Hello? It's me. I'm sorry for calling so late. No, it's all right. What happened? It doesn't sound like you're calling me just to hear my voice. I apologized again about what I said earlier. I don't know how much meaning there's to it, but I'm thinking of going on patrols at night. Huh? On a patrol? The Joker might be wandering in the area. Anyway, there was already a murder at the station, which indicates he can most likely possess anyone. You want to look for him? Yes, as I've mentioned, he doesn't know I can see him, which we might be able to use against him. Wait, that sounds beyond dangerous. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I didn't even try to deny it, but it's dangerous no matter where I am. The Joker has already found his way to my very classroom. There's nowhere safer for me, Kirito. He had many opportunities to take my life. The only reason I was still alive was because he used Seki and Shoei to mess with me. Yeah, I could hear the anxiety in her breath even over the phone. Alright, I'll come with you. Huh? What? No. I could practically hear a smile on the other end. And I believe I told you during lunch that couples do everything together. It's not why I called you. You're the most important person to me in the entire world, so I didn't want to do something without telling you. I see. I think that's it. What? The reason why the Joker is so obsessed with you, though it's not everything. What are you talking about? His attention is focused on people close to you. I felt choked up. It probably came across the receiver. Madoka was killed by the Joker, wasn't she? Yes. My heart suddenly hurt so bad I felt myself growing cold, as though it was no longer pumping blood through my veins. If that happened again, this time, I'd really fall apart. Fukugami, are you listening to me? I am. My sweat covered the phone. No, I'm sorry. I think I wasn't listening to what you said in the end. I was saying that I just can't sit and wait when I'm most likely a target too. And I'm sure I'll be able to help you in some way. Alright. I promised we'd start tomorrow and hung up. My body, which had felt cold just moments ago, is now oddly hot. But it was an unpleasant, vicious heat. Viscous heat. What are you shaking for? I thought you became stronger after finding people you want to protect. Are you trying to console me? You are free to interpret this as you wish. I let out a sigh. The fever-like warmth slowly faded from my body. Yes, that's right. I'm stronger than before, I'm sure. Rika didn't respond to that and instead continued the conversation. I'll look out too. I would not like to perish after all this time. Yeah, thanks. However, I have no reason to watch out for your lover, so you'll have to handle her yourself. I know. By the way, you might actually be onto something with that plan. Really? I myself was skeptical about it, as I was pretty much grasping at straws with it. Hide's obsession keeps him near you. There's a high possibility you'll find him so long as you look. And once you do, I have a plan of my own. What kind of plan? I'll confirm what Hide is attached to. What? I cocked my head. Is that something like the memento ribbon that Madoka's soul was bound to? Or Madoka, whatever. Exactly. If we can find that item and destroy it, we might be able to send him back to where he came from. I'm not sure. I mean, Monica wasn't even really attached to that ribbon. She said it wasn't a thing that connected her to this world, but...
So, Iwaba kimi ni yadotte ita. Daga, Hide-san no baai wa dou da?
It was you. But what about Hide? What do you mean?
Moushu shite iru kimi ni yadotte iru ka touyou to, keshite sonna koto wa nai. Daro?
I doubt it's you who's functioning as his link, despite being the target of his obsession. Are you saying it might actually be some item in his case?
Ah. Yurei o dou yatte naguri tsukeru ka nado, watashi mo shiranai. Daga jitsuzai suru mono ga me no mai ni areba.
Yes, I do not know how to hurt a ghost myself, but as long as there's an actual physical object we can interact with, it'd be easy to get rid of it. Exactly. It was, of course, only a hypothesis. Nothing was certain. But that was all we had at the moment. Let's follow Hide if we can find him. I'm not sure if that's a good idea. He'll realize I can see him. You don't need to do it. I'll do it. What? Rika shifted onto my left hand. He couldn't get away from me, or that was at least what he always implied. Don't worry about it. And then Rika conspicuously pulled away. I let out a breath and leaned against the bed. Little good would come out from me trying to interrogate Rika at this point. I remembered Monica's words. It's actually me who should put an end to that man. I mean, I'm the one whom he killed. Besides, I don't want you to become a criminal after all. Was it still a crime to kill a ghost? And would I be able to do it this time? No. The Ghostbusters would be in jail. The incident made the news the next morning. Oh no. It's happening again. Miss Miyako sighed as she stared at the screen. I had the feeling it was finally over, but... The piece had returned to Sakura-no-Mori for a time. Even the Bodoks disappeared. But a dark shadow surrounded our town all over again. The Joker had returned. You stabbed him without realizing it? I wonder if he was on something. Miss Miyako turned off the TV and turned to us. That said, this incident has nothing to do with us directly. I almost had a heart attack when I learned what happened in school yesterday. Yeah. We texted her that we were safe, but she still seemed relieved when she finally saw us. It's crazy that they're already holding classes again. They should have closed the place for at least a day. Yeah, but they already apprehended the culprit, so... Yes, that's a silver lining, I suppose. My heart hurt when I said the word culprit. Seki was as much a victim as anyone else, and he looked at me for help, but I couldn't do anything. That said, weird things just keep happening in Sakura-no-Mori Academy. I mean, it hasn't even been that long since the bomb incident. Do you guys want to change schools? Miss Miyako looked pretty serious. No, I like it here. And you do too, don't you, Hatsune? Yeah. Miss Miyako gave us a small nod. It's alright, these kinds of things can't continue for long. I really hoped so. It must have sounded like just empty sentiments to her, but I knew otherwise. Sakura-no-Mori was where my family, friends, and the woman I loved lived. I would protect it no matter what. I was wary of my surroundings as I walked to school, but there were no Bodoks in sight. At the very least, this ability gave me a means of knowing when to expect trouble. The media surrounded the school gates just like last time. Security guards did what they could to keep them off the school grounds. Students obeyed the guards and teachers and trotted into the school like a herd of sheep. Good morning. Morning. Good morning. Everyone from Security Mori Dreamers had gathered a few steps away on the gate. From the gate. Did something happen? No, not really, but Kirito turned to me as Shizumiya and Arasaka gave me awkward smiles. We're anxious. I thought it'd be easier to go with everyone, so I was waiting for you here. The other students seemed pretty anxious too. We headed towards the school. The school would be pretty noisy at this time, but today it felt like we were at a funeral. I haven't seen a single Bodok though. I wonder if that means we're safe here today. Yeah. We parted ways with the others and headed to our classroom. Quiet whispering filled the corridor. I looked for Seki as soon as I entered the classroom, though I knew there was no way he could be here. I didn't even know their names at the beginning of the third semester, but those three would always be in the corner of the room in the morning. Seki in the middle with Aizawa and Shoei surrounding him on either side. It was awful to watch someone get bullied right in front of your eyes, but that would never happen again. This classroom feels so quiet now. Yeah. Four of our classrooms had vanished, including Tono, five if we counted Tsukuda. It was a painful thought for us all. I really wanted to put an end to this already. Ahem, as I mentioned yesterday, please don't speak with the media. Yeah, please don't speak with the media if you can at all help it. This is a sensitive issue. Teacher, what happened to Seki? I really don't know. Did Seki kill Shohei after all? The homeroom teacher shook his head, indicating that he wasn't going to provide an answer. Normally, students whispered to each other from time to time throughout the classes, but today the place was as silent as a grave. It was enough to make even the sound of chalk on the blackboard seem loud. Absent thoughts skirted around my head, making it hard to listen to anything the teacher was saying. Murders that left no bodies had a unique air of savagery about them. Kirito's grandfather once said something regarding that. Their son has suddenly disappeared. They're in for a long fight between vain hope and despair. I truly feel sorry for them. We too, quite strongly shared that opinion. But then again, a normal killing seemed to be just as big of a tragedy. One of my classmates was now charged with two counts of murder. His life was also more or less over at this point. Thought it was nothing more than vapid indignation, I'd swore I'd make Hide pay. Though it was nothing more than vapid indignation, I swore I'd make Hide pay. I paid a visit to Gorota's detective agency after seeing Kirito off at the bus stop after school. Come in. Hello. The chief looked away from the newspaper with a surprised expression. What are you doing here? I can't imagine a student having much business with a detective agency. Yes, I didn't come to hire you today. Well, if you want to use this place as a restaurant, then go ahead. The chief nodded towards the sink. You'll have to pay, though. No thanks. I looked around the deserted office. Is there anything Hide left here? Huh? Something he left? If there was something, then there was a high possibility it was here. So it's like a Horcrux or something? Like, that's the only thing I'm thinking, like a Horcrux that connects him to this world. It'd be nice if we could find it this easily. Are you looking for a memento or something? I suppose so. I'd already told the chief that Hide had killed my former girlfriend. As such, me looking for something to remember him by must have sounded pretty weird, but the chief didn't look bothered. Well, whatever. Unfortunately, there's not a single thing of his that remains. The chief stood up, circled around the desk, and stood in the center of the room. I think I already told you, but he didn't leave a single trace. To the extent it made me question whether he ever lived here to begin with. What about chopsticks? I doubted his soul would get attached to a thing like that, but maybe that helped jog the chief's memory. But I received an unexpected response. Chopsticks? We don't use fancy stuff like that in here. Chopsticks are fancy? We usually ate takeout convenience store lunch boxes, and those come with disposable utensils. I see. He left a toothbrush, but I threw that away already. Well, you're welcome to look around. I've got somewhere to be. Okay, what about locking up? Don't worry about it. There's nothing in here worth stealing anyway. Alright. The chief left the office and I quickly proceeded to investigate. The chief wasn't lying. I can't find anything. I thought there'd be at least one or two things lying around, but there really wasn't anything. He said he left no trace, and now I understood what he meant. But the Joker was sending murder videos to Kirito's household, so he had to possess filming equipment to do that. I see. Maybe it's somewhere in that abandoned house. What are you talking about? There's an abandoned house in the orchards that he used. You were still sleeping at the time, so you probably don't know about it. It appears so. I hurried home. Are you planning to go there now? Yes. It'll be dark on your way back. Stop acting like my mother. Rather than the road, I didn't want to still be in that house in the dark. I made sure to pedal my bike as fast as I could. It was a bit of a slope, but I still moved faster than I would on foot. Thank God they took care to actually pave this road. Phew, there they are back again. It wasn't bad when it came to scary things. I wasn't bad when it came to scary things, but I couldn't help tensing up when I stepped inside that place. The sight of those ears and a hatchet flying at my head were still fresh in my memory. I looked around. Nothing but dust danced under the evening sun. Nothing seemed to have changed since my last visit. There were things here, though I didn't know if any held importance to Hide. Shinji, what happened to that closet? Ah, Hide did that. Oh, could you tell me exactly what happened here? Alright, I told him the story as I continued to look around. I didn't find anything. He probably had already taken care of anything important in here. Shinji, I think you should head back. The sun will set soon. That slope was quite steep, so I had to be careful on my way back. It had already grown a bit dark, so I strained my eyes to see the road. That said, it's quite strange. I told you it wasn't a good idea to come to this place so late. I was just startled because you started speaking out of nowhere. I'd already grown more or less used to it, but it was still pretty weird to have your own hand let out sounds. Anyway, what was that about something being strange? What did Hide keep remains for? I don't know, and I've been wondering the same thing, but Tsukada kept messing with his ear when he forced himself onto him, but I couldn't imagine that was the reason. It's the same as with those videos. He went out of his way to preserve proof of his crimes. Rika disappeared back into me without saying anything else. I turned my attention back onto my bike. I headed to the station after walking Hatsune and Miss Miyako home. Good evening. Evening, I see you're dressed in Western clothes today. Yes, since I came on this. Kirito pointed at her mom's city bike. I had asked that she bike here since there might not be any buses by the time we finished. We pushed our bikes to the parking lot. It feels great after you fixed it. My mom's really happy too. That's good to hear. Well then, so what are we going to do for this patrol exactly? Nothing special. We stopped as the station's exit came into view and stood next to each other. It was still quite busy at this time of day. I'm seeing more police than usual. Yeah. It's probably because of the incident earlier. The station would be upping their security for the time being. Can you see the Joker anywhere? No. Could he just be hard to spot in the crowd? No, it doesn't work like that. I don't know how to explain it, but ghosts obviously stand out for people to me. Ghosts obviously stand out from people to me, even though they technically look the same. I know instantly regardless of how many normal people were around. It was like a color that no other person or object could mimic. What are you going to do once you find him? Rika, the Bodok that's inside me has a plan, apparently. I told her I didn't know the details myself. We spent some time walking around the station and staring at the flow of people. There were other young couples lingering around the station without doing anything in particular, so the security didn't pay us any special attention. It might have been a good idea to have you with me after all. I'd have died from boredom if I was alone. Kirito chuckled and hugged my arm. That was enough to make me feel like I was in heaven for a moment. Let's look around the shopping district. I'm not sure how much meaning there is in changing locations, but... Alright, let's do that. Some stores are still open, people walking in and out. Our objective aside, this actually isn't so bad. Kirito faced me with a smile. It's like we're having a walk late at night. Yeah. We've both been pretty solemn since Bodog started appearing again. There's probably no need to mention how unnatural that was. I'd like to spend time with you without this looming over us, but I guess that's kind of obvious. Yeah, how about we do that once the patrol is finished? Yeah, I didn't think of that, but that sounded like a good plan. We were just wandering around in the dark, so it probably didn't matter if we ended a bit early. Then let's do that. Yes. Kirito hugged my arm again, and together with that soft warmth, another wave of bliss flowed through me. We retrieved our bikes and headed home. Though I was the one who brought it up, I wonder if it's polite to come to someone's house so late at night. No, not at all. This is exactly what we introduced you to Miss Miyako for, isn't it? I guess you're right. Kirito smiled, switching her gears. Besides, I don't mind you coming over at any time. Kirito blushed and nodded. Thank you for having me. Would you like something to drink? Yeah, I'm feeling a bit thirsty. We headed to my room with cups in our hands. By the way, about earlier, I feel just the same. Huh? What? I don't mind you coming over to my place anytime either. Okay, but did you clean up your room for me? It seemed like it'd still be a bit before I could see your room. Don't you like the usual room? It's not that I don't like it, but... Grandpa is always happy to see you, as well as my mom and dad. Yeah. It felt nice to be welcomed like that. It probably wasn't common for a boyfriend to get that kind of hospitality with a family to that extent. Here, have a drink. Thanks. Phew, it's still pretty hot, even at nights. We sat down next to each other, lovingly entwining our fingers. Kirito's cheeks flushed. Her normally refined features were exceptionally cute when she blushed. It'd been a while since we kissed. We pressed our lips with passion, feeling every inch of each other. I tasted the light sweetness of the juice on her tongue. Kissing the girl you loved had a magical way of making you lose track of time. Can I borrow your bathroom? Does the idea of doing it without showering first bother you? I asked because I felt like I couldn't wait anymore. I don't know. What about you? I don't really mind. I'm pretty sweaty, though, she said with a chuckle on her lips. I think I prefer that, if anything. I kissed her neck. Her breathing slowly grew sweeter as I continued to press my lips against her neck while fondling her breasts at the same time. I felt like my dick was about to explode. You become kind of gloomy since buttocks started appearing again. Hmm? I paused and pulled away. Kirito regarded me with moist eyes and a dreamy smile. It didn't seem like she suddenly wanted to discuss something serious. So I was thinking, how could I cheer you up? Cheer me up? Yes. Kirito traced her hand along the bulge in my pants. A jolt of pleasure shot through me, even though a layer of fabric still separated us. You mean in a sexual way? Haha, that sounds good too. I couldn't help but think that before this lascivious smile. Oh, I said that right. Kirito continued to stroke my dick over my pants. Yeah, in that case, I'd like you to cheer me up very much. Okay. Kirito sat down in front of the bed in a traditional Japanese style. Well then, what exactly would you like? I swallowed my modesty and told her exactly what it was. Okay. So, here's where we're going to end. Yeah, it's the boob job. I don't have the time right now. But we're doing Sakura no Mori all week until we finish it. And this is the last chapter. So whatever the hell is going to happen, it's going to happen this week. And then immediately, we will unveil our next game. And this one is not just going to be one game, guys. It's going to be several games. Because I've paid for them all, and damn it, we're playing them. So hold on to your hats, because things are going to get very, very, very interesting. I think you guys are definitely want to check out our Hentai Corner even more, because you'll be like, wow, I can't believe he's actually going to play all these. Yes, I am. We've already played a little bit of one of them, so I'll give you a hint. It's already one of the wild cards. It's already a wild card. It's on BitChute. It's here on MGTOW.TV. So check that out. See if you can, I don't know, guess which one it is. What do you think we're going to have next after Sakura no Mori Dreamers ends? There's a lot of choices. But I think some of you might actually know what it's going to be. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out for Grimm's Hentai Corner. Well, anti-visual novel. It's about both on this. But, we're out, and we'll see you tomorrow with more Sakura no Mori Dreamers up until the end of the fucking route. Finally, right? It's been a long time.